Welcome to the Jasmine Star Podcast, where we talk about life, business, and today we are talking about delivering presentations, conversations, keynotes, and sales calls with the optimization for conversion. I couldn't be more excited to introduce you to Colin Boyd, like the creme de la creme, the person who I go to for all things presentations, keynotes, stage presence, deliverability, conversion, like all of it. Welcome to the Jasmine Star Show.
Hey, it's great to be here, Jasmine.
I'm so happy you're here. Okay, so like always, a little preface around who Colin is from my perspective, because if you want to go to his bio, you can go to colinboyd.com.
Oh, .net. No, .co.
.co.
So .com, he's a country singer and he will not give me his .com. So if you want country singing, go to .com. If you want me, go to .co.
You know what, Colin? It's like I literally planted that story to have you do a subtle flex. Yeah. So here's one thing. Colin is a master storyteller, but in a super engaging way because he draws you in. What Colin could have said is like, oh no, Jasmine, it's .co. We're like, oh yeah, you're right, .co. I would have poked fun at myself and we would have moved on. But what does he do? He stops the story and says, oh, well, if you're really into country music, go to .com. And if you want to get better at giving presentations for conversion, go to .co. That right there, friends, is what Colin Boyd does best. And he does it in such a natural way that it's become second nature to him. And that, my friends, is how he is wildly powerful in conversions. However, let's back up. We first met 2018,
19? I think it was 16.
What?
Yeah.
God, don't age me, brother. Yeah. Really?
Well, okay. So I was living in Australia at the time.
Okay.
And we were in the same mastermind when
yes.
we first met.
Yes.
And then I moved to America in 2017. So, but we met in the end of 2016, I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay. So we must have done our mastermind year 2017.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Well, actually speaking of the mastermind, our mutual friend, good, brilliant, kind soul, James Wedmore, hosted a mastermind. And I was going into my third year of James Wedmore's mastermind. And every year there was like a similar group of people and then people would come in and kind of the group would expand. And so it is 2016, end of 2016. We're in Laguna Beach, California. Mm. We're at this beautiful venue that serves as an event space, but also kind of like a hotel because there's rooms on the second and third story. And so you walk into like an atrium and we're all there and everybody's mixing. And then we say, okay, we're going to walk down to the beach. Now at this point in time, nobody has sat down. Everyone's kind of standing, mixing and sipping. And then you walk out the back doors and into an alleyway so all 25, 30 of us can walk down to the beach. At this point in time, I have no eyes on a gentleman by the name of Colin Boyd. I just walk out and I don't know what it is. Colin, you're like what, 7'5"? Like something like that. Yeah, Colin is extraordinarily tall.
6'4".
6'4". Yeah. I think you've got it. No, you got to measure yourself again, bro. Yeah. Like I don't think it's 6'4". Anyway, so he's 6'4" and I hear this Australian accent and at the time the sun is falling right behind him. So it's as if he has this halo and I'm like, since when do freaking models join this mastermind? What the heck? And then I come to find out that you are kind, charming, and you and your wife, Sarah, care about people. You care about transformations and you care about empowering entrepreneurs. And so I couldn't be more thankful to have you here on this podcast because it's been a long time coming.
Well, I've got to say as well, because your amazing husband, JD,
yes.
has probably introduced me to more friends in America than anyone else. So yes. I'm forever grateful for you, both of you.
Yeah. I get most of my street credibility from JD. People don't know that. People don't know that, but like the only reason why we have
he is.
He's like a rare and fine diamond. Yeah. I need to keep him in like a glass box. Okay. So Colin, one of the things I found most intriguing, you have a beautiful mastery of words. And so I heard a conversation that you were having with our mutual friend, Amy Porterfield, and you said just randomly talking, you're like, oh yeah, that's when I had a half client. And I was like, that's Colin doing what Colin does because it was such a beautiful imagery and it was beautiful words. Let's start there because I don't know how many people listening right now because I've experienced a half client. Yeah. Let's go back to that story of you and your half client and then how we're actually sitting in this room now.
So I remember when I first started my coaching business, I had all these dreams of wanting to make a difference. Like I wanted to make an impact. I wanted to make great money and kind of get away from my 9-to-5. And I'm sitting at my desk, this old wooden desk. It literally had 3.5 legs. And I had one half of the legs was held up by phone books. Remember phone books? And so I'm sitting there, I've got my laptop and I've got all these dreams of wanting to make a difference. But the problem was, is that I had no clients. Well, actually, to be more accurate, I had half a client.
Yes.
So my half a client was one of those clients who like, they come and do a coaching session or a consulting session like every other month, and then they pay you like every fourth month. So I was making like $100 a month or something like that at the time. And I'm just thinking, this is just not feasible at all. Mm. And I was sitting there at my office and I got a phone call, and it was one of my good friends. And he said, hey, I've got this presentation coming up. He said, I can't do it. Would you consider doing it? He said, it's free. He said, I got referred to it from another friend and I can't do it. So it's like a really hot lead, right? No one wants it. I'm like, okay. And now I'd never done a presentation professionally before, you know, at college or at school and stuff. I'd done one, but I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I remember coming into it, I was so nervous. Like, have you ever walked around the neighborhood just fretting over something, you know?
In America, we don't fret, but yes. Australians fret, yeah. And like Americans, we're just worried, yeah, all the time.
So much, right? And so I'm worried, I'm fretting, I'm walking around, and my wife's giving me like a psychology pep talk every single day prepping into this. That evening of the presentation, it was a dark and stormy night. I walk up the stairs, the event organizer, he runs to me and he's like, Colin, you wouldn't believe this. Biggest turnout we've ever had in our history. We've got 137 people in the room. For me, this is bad news, like real bad news, because in my mind, I'm just thinking, great, I'm going to look like an absolute idiot in front of their biggest audience they've ever had. So I mustered up the courage to do my presentation. I did the best I could. And at the end, I made an offer. Now, I didn't know what an irresistible offer was at the time, but out of the 137 people, I had 125 give me their personal details. Then I followed up, did some like discovery calls and coaching sessions. I ended up signing about 12 to 15 coaching clients one-on-one. So I filled my—
A full client. No half clients anymore.
No. They were 12 to 15 full clients.
Wow.
And so I had a full deck of one-on-one coaching clients back then. And then
that's like an 11% conversion on that audience. Whoa.
Yeah. So I was pumped. And then 4 days later, I'm standing on the hotel after one of the coaching sessions, and I get a call from HP, and there was a director there in the audience. And he said, Colin, love the presentation. Could you come and speak at our next global training day, which ended up having 5,500 people in it. That was my first ever paid speaking presentation.
Your second ever professional speaking engagement was paid?
It was paid.
Okay. Remember how I said that halo of light was behind you? That existed way before America, brother.
So, dang. And that was before virtual presentations. That was before like webinars were a thing. And so that experience for me changed my life, because I realized the power that in literally one presentation, your entire life can change. You never know who's in the audience. Even if you're running a small webinar, even if you're doing a small presentation, I've heard so many clients, so many friends talk about, hey, I was running this presentation, I had 5 people in the audience, and then one of them was the VP of Mercedes, and they just called me. And, you know, it's like that sort of thing happens over and over again. And so for me, that one presentation changed the trajectory of my life, and that's forever, you know, continued. So.
Mm. Now, you and I, we both love to educate and love to share what we know. But you had said that there was a distinction between stories, right? You said that there is, oh, I know what I said. Oh, I said, okay, off camera, I said, oh, Colin, we're talking about your origin story. And then you had said, just finish it. I'm not going to do it like you do, because you just speak with an accent. Everything you say sounds better.
Well, this was a revelation I had recently, was that there is a distinction between an origin story and what I call a conversion story. Mm. And so what most people tell is the story about their journey of getting into business. Like if someone says, hey, tell me about how you got into business, how you got into doing what you're doing. And they tell their whole journey. So they talk about, you know, where they went to college and how many kids they got and, you know, all the different challenges, which is cool, but sometimes it's a bit boring because it's just like a whole bunch of information. And so the distinction I made recently was that you shouldn't be telling your origin story. You should be telling your conversion story. And so your conversion story is the story that best articulates the transformation that your vehicle creates for the audience that you help. So I'll give you another example of
that. Wait, say that one more time, but slower.
So your conversion story is the story that best articulates the transformation that your vehicle does for your audience. So, for example, for me, I help people build high converting presentations. And so the story that I just shared then about my half client led into a story about a presentation. because I've probably got 19 stories I could tell about different things that happened in my business.
Right.
But for me, that was the story that was the pivotal moment that changed the trajectory of my life. And it also aligns with what I help people with. And so that's an example, if we kind of go meta on what I just did.
Yes.
I just told my conversion story. It's a true story, but it's my conversion story that helps people to understand what I do, to have an understanding, a resonance with me, but to also go, wow, like maybe there's something that in this that I could move forward in that area. So
I'm going to repeat back what I heard, but in like, I'm very simple.
No, you're
so
not, Jasmine.
The goal, no, I'm complicated as all get out, but I'm a simple thinker, okay? Like what comes out is complicated.
You are wicked smart. So.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you. Okay. So ideally our conversion story empowers a future buyer, right now our audience, empowers our audience to look at themselves through our story to see what is possible for them.
So a great story should be told in a way where the audience hears your story, but they really feel theirs. And so what most people do when they come to tell their story is they think about their story. So they go, well, what's the story about me and my life? And when you truly understand storytelling at a deep level, you realize that the story is actually the story of the client. And one of the most powerful ways to do that is to unlock moments of dissonance and challenge and desire within your story. And so what you do is throughout your story, you actually stop in moments and you talk about what was challenging, what you were feeling, what you were going through, because not everyone had an old brown desk with three legs, but everyone probably has that feeling of, has had that feeling of wanting to make a difference, wanting to build something of significance, and also wanting to make great money and have freedom and meaning in their life. Everyone feels that. And so there's a resonance with the feeling, but the specifics of the story bring you into the story. The feeling imparts the story.
Okay. So I write notes because it helps me understand. And so when you had said, our goal is to unlock moments of dissonance, desire, and challenge. So when I went back to your story, as shared 5 minutes ago, I started categorizing desire. You wanted to make a difference. You wanted money. You wanted a purpose. I started categorizing your challenges as denoted in it. That story was, I think, maybe 4 minutes. So in 4 minutes, you incited the desire. Then you presented us the challenge. You had never done it before. You had half a client. You had never pitched before. And then the dissonance of where you were to what you had desired. Okay. I want to make sure that we're going through that step by step because I want people to actually go back and hear that story now entirely different and then ask themselves when somebody says, how did you get to where you were? Or perhaps if you're talking with a client, if you are teaching a live webinar or masterclass, or if you ever happen to stand on a stage, we must be super cognizant of the dissonance, desire, and challenge inserted in our, not origin story, but our conversion story.
Right? Yeah. So you talk about the journey of what you actually did, you know, whatever that moment or that journey was, but it's the feelings, it's the flavor of what you were experiencing during those processes that the audience will put themselves in your story and go, wow, that's how I feel. And then all of a sudden your story that you tell becomes their story.
Okay.
And the power of that, power of story is that it actually speaks to someone's unconscious. Because as soon as you start telling a story, you know, like little Luna, who I just love, as soon as you tell her a story, she's just like wide-eyed, right? Or, you know, my kids, like whenever I sit down, I tell them a story, they just like, they just listen. They always say, Dad, tell me a story. Mm-hmm. Because we're just built for story. And kids are basically unconscious humans walking around, you know, just responding to the world very much. Mm-hmm. And so when we speak, we go into someone's unconscious, and the way to deeply influence someone is to speak to their unconscious. And so it goes past the conscious mind, and then that's how you impart beliefs. So great therapy is usually done through storytelling. If you study NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, or any sort of like deep transformational therapy methods, it's metaphor, it's story. I've told so many stories about like rabbits and random little things with my clients, and it's got nothing to do with what they're going through, but it's a story, a metaphor, and then they take it on a deep level. So that's why if you create a great story, it's going to resonate, it's going to impart beliefs, and it's going to influence your audience.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
But most people don't put stories even in their presentations. They go straight to the teaching. They go straight to the, you know, the points, and because we think, oh, that's what the audience wants. Right. And it is, but it's the story that is the nitros to the actual point.
Okay. So I like using this podcast as real-time extrapolation. And so I feel very uncomfortable talking about my business, and I feel very uncomfortable talking about business in real time. What I love to do is to do what Brené Brown calls gold-plated grit. We go through something, we look back and we assess what was the highs, what was the lows, and then we package it up pretty and we say, that was very hard, but look at what we came out. It's in the middle of it. So in the middle of recording this podcast, I am launching a course in preparing with a presentation. Now, if I was being very honest, I know that stories work. And so I have stories embedded in each part. So it's a four-part presentation and there's a story for each and to show a micro conversion. But I actually don't think I have my conversion story dialed in tight. Okay. Now, I want to ask for your opinion. And I'm just going to be very honest. Okay, and rip it apart. Like, just no niceness. I hate when people give nice sandwiches. I don't need a nice sandwich. Yeah. Just give me the chorizo in the middle. I'm a vegetarian. Like
before you share something.
Yes.
One of the challenges that people have is finding what story to tell.
That's what I was just going to ask. Mm. Well, okay, give me a framework and then maybe I don't even have to ask my question and then I could just tell you gold-plated
grit. Yeah, and the whole audience can use this as well.
Yes.
So usually the first point of contact is I go, when was the first time you experienced the breakthrough that you were looking, that you help people with? Right. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was the first time I ever spoke is the story I share. So for you as a listener, think about whatever you help them with. When was the first time that you experienced that breakthrough? Because where are your audience usually? They're right before the first time. And so that's why it's not about sharing the biggest breakthrough you ever had. It's about sharing the first transformational breakthrough you had in the thing that you help them with. Now, depending on your audience level, so sometimes I'll go and speak at like a high-level mastermind or something like that. I may not share that story. I might share a story about a big webinar I did or a big launch or something like that. So depending at the level of the audience as well, I will target the story.
So good.
Does that help?
So good.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was not the options that I was going to give. I was going to give option one or two. And I realized, that doesn't. So traditionally.
So usually lead with the first experience. So let's say you've got a four-part training. The first training, you're going to tell the story about the first time. And then the other ones are more like distinctions and nuances on that same vehicle or like same experience or different experiences of the same vehicle. Now, when I say vehicle, the vehicle for me is a presentation. The vehicle for someone else might be social media or it might be Facebook groups or whatever it is, right? That could be a vehicle. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I know the story. I want to continue with this. And then I want us to fill in the gaps so that people who are listening can actually do this too. Once they've identified the first time. And so I have identified the first time of my conversion, whereas I had a business online. I did not have an online business. So having a business online means that somebody can make a transaction with my business, right? And at the time I was selling video tutorials, PDFs, ebooks, education. And so they could buy, but I actually never learned the methodology of having an online business where I thought, how am I optimizing the purchase given their desire? And when I first did that, I went in 2015 from making $150,000 a year in digital products to my very first launch doing 255,000 in 5 days.
I remember you telling me about that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I look back and be like, that's the day my life changed.
Come on.
So, I mean.
So that language set that you just gave, the difference between having a business that's online and an online business, love that.
Okay, good.
Because for me, when you said that, I resonated with that. I'm like, wow, I remember going through that transition.
Good.
And so that's beautiful. So there's three elements to a great story. There is the first element is connection. And that answers the question of, are you like me? And so in your story and your listeners' stories, you need to find moments that you start in the muck. You start in the frustration. You start in the place where like you weren't on top of the world. You were actually struggling because that's the connection piece. The second piece is the credibility, which is you've actually done something, right? You've actually achieved something. Your $240,000 launch, you've actually achieved something. That's the credibility. And then the third piece is it aligns with the core idea or the core premise. And the core premise is kind of like what you were mentioning, that it's like that one sentence that clearly articulates the pathway the audience can go on to achieve what they want. And so the core premise is the through line. It's the red ribbon that runs through the whole launch, the whole webinar, the whole business. It's the red ribbon that runs through it all.
Oh, perfect. Great. Now that we have this idea and this notion that there are three elements to a good story. Number one, connection. Are you like me? Number two, credibility. You have achieved something. And then number three, it aligns with the core premise. That's the element of the good story. And once we've identified our conversion story, we want to make sure that the audience understands we understand where they are. They are, well, they are the former version of us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it has both. It has the 1.0 and the 2.0.
Yep.
Because the 1.0 is, I'm like you. I've experienced challenges, difficulty. I may not be exactly you. I may not be from the same culture. I may not be from the same upbringing, but I know what it feels like to struggle. And you have to articulate that. The second piece is you have to show that you've gone on the journey, you've done the grit work, you've done the experience to achieve something, you've had some summit experiences or a summit experience. And that answers the question of, can you lead me? Because it's great to have someone who you connect with, but if they can't lead you, then you're not going to buy something from them. And then the third element, which is the secret sauce, is that all of that aligns with the core premise. And the core premise is that red ribbon that runs through the whole thing of whatever you do in your business. And so that answers the question of, is there a path that I could follow to get those sort of results, Jasmine? Like, is there a path I could follow that I could do something like that, that you just did?
So the conversion story that you shared now on the podcast, who were you speaking to? You know, he had said, well, I choose a different conversion story. When we think about the through line, and now we went through the dissonance, desire, and challenge of unlocking moments so that somebody gets it. I'm like, oh, I identify. And then what you also did is you drew out a good story. But who right now, what offer are you pointing them to? What is for you like, oh, I understand. What are you essentially to get somebody on their journey? Where do you want them to go from here? And I'm asking now from a business perspective, you call in the entrepreneur CEO of your business.
Well, I mean, for me, at a high level, the main thing I do is help people create high converting presentations. So that story, it links to that one core idea. I have subsets of my business. If we talk about the business model, we have a storytelling product, right? And then we have like a influence product, and they're smaller products. But really the main one is speaking in general. And then, or it's not speaking, it's speaking to sell on a webinar or a live presentation. And then there's a subset, which is storytelling, which we're talking about the conversion story. So that links directly through to speaking. Not everyone wants to speak.
Right.
Most people want to tell a story. They want to tell their story or tell, you know, their journey. So that for me is kind of how it aligns.
So do you think at this point in the conversation, the next through line is once we've actually done the conversion story as the through line to actually get to the mechanism of selling by way? And I really want to go back and repeat 1,000 times over. I told Colin before we turned the cameras on, there are three types of viewers for viewers and listeners to this podcast. Number one, the person who has aspirations to speak on a stage. Number two, the business owner who understands the importance of sharing their story and education by way of a virtual summit, an online class, a webinar. And then thirdly, an entrepreneur who knows that telling their story is part of a sales mechanism of closing. But in all three of those, all three of those types of listeners right now, what you want to do is optimize your presentation, your sales call, your masterclass for the conversion. Do you think that the next path in this conversation would be to go from the conversion story into the mechanisms of selling?
Yeah.
Or do you think that there's another thing that I'm missing here?
No, I mean, for me, storytelling is one of the building blocks of just speaking to sell. So building that webinar or building a presentation, and not everyone uses that mechanism. For me, I've found it to be one of the most powerful because when you stand on a stage, there's some unconscious inbuilt things that happen with the audience. You just running a webinar, no one knows that there's four people on there when you're starting. No one knows that there's 20 or whatever, but you just automatically have authority. As soon as you step on a stage, whether it's virtual or live, you have authority. What most people think is they will look at market leaders. They'll look at you. They'll look at Amy. They'll look at me. They'll look at different people and go, oh, because they're a market leader, that's why they're running webinars or running promotions or speaking on stage. And it's like, no, it's the opposite. we decided to run our own webinars, run our own presentations, do our own events. That's why we became market leaders.
Come on.
And so people get the horse before the cart, right?
Yes.
And so drawing a line in the sand and going, I'm just going to step out. Whether there's four people on this webinar, I don't care. I'm just going to start with that. My first webinars, I didn't even offer anything. I didn't sell anything. I just wanted to present something of value to my audience. And then I started to realize, oh my gosh, I can actually make money on this stuff. And then we started making offers on webinars. But that for me is the power of a stage, is it actually positions you as a market leader. So people are wishing and wanting, and it could be a launch, it could be a webinar, it could be a speaking on stage. They all position you in leadership in the market.
Okay. I am stepping out to speak to be a market leader and not be a market leader to speak. I feel like people need to grab that because when you started teaching and when I started teaching online, so I joined James's mastermind in 2016. So maybe we had done maybe we did 2 years together. Anyway, I joined that with the idea that, well, James can do that and Amy could do that because they are market leaders. And then I had to just simply tell myself, oh, well, I'm going to speak until I am a market leader. And one thing that you said that I don't want to gloss over is you said, when you host a masterclass or when you host, like, there's a good chance that three or four people will be there. And do we have the chutzpah and the humility or even like the pride? Like, somebody is taking time out of their day to log in. And if that is three people, there are three people in the world who want to hear from you. Could we not like celebrate that? So thank you for taking the time to focus on that. So if we use your example of your conversion story and the one that you chose for this audience is to simply point them to the overarching, what do you do? And what you do is you teach people high converting presentations. So we start with your origin story. Then we have the three components of what make a good story. And now we're moving upline into, well, how then do we sell? Like, do you have mechanisms, frameworks? Like, what's tap here?
So for me, selling, it all starts with the core idea, which is the core premise. So the core premise is that it's the red ribbon. It's that one idea that you're going to shoot into the audience's minds and go, if you can believe this idea and you resonate with me and see that I actually know what I'm doing, then the next step will be to actually work with me. And so what most people don't do, they don't take the time to work out what is that one core idea. And so you articulated it before, whether you're going to use that or not, I don't know. But it's that whole idea of the online business versus having a truly online business, right? Mm-hmm. I've got a business online or an online business. For me, it's that you're one presentation away from the breakthrough you want in your business. That's my core premise. My whole multi-million-dollar business is built off that one sentence. Look at Russell Brunson. His one sentence is you are one funnel away. It's like that's his one sentence. James Wedmore, he actually uses an identity as a core premise, which is become the digital CEO. That for him is his core. He uses an identity core premise. So there's actually a few types of core premises. This is really interesting. Yeah. So there are what I call thing core premises, which is a thing is like it's something you produce. It's like a result. So for me, I could say, a presentation is a thing. That's part of my core premise. There's another type of core premise, which is an identity core premise, which is you just say a certain identity. Brandon Lucero, he does the new generational entrepreneur. James Wedmore does the digital CEO. They've got like that's their identity. There's another one, which is a skill core premise, which is the actual skill itself. So for me, it could be persuasive speaking. Right? That's an actual skill. So you can actually use all these different flavors to create a core premise. There's not just one perfect core premise. They're described in all different flavors.
Do you think that one is better than the other?
I don't. I just think you need to test and see what resonates with the audience and what flows off your tongue. And I actually jump in between. I'll use a thing. I'll use an identity. I'll use a skill. And they fluctuate throughout the conversation.
Great. For the sake of the audience, can you show us how you just did that? Thing core premise, identity core premise, a skill core premise. So you had said the thing was for in your business.
Is a presentation itself. Yeah. So a thing, an example of a thing could be, yeah, like a presentation. Yep. It could be like a keto diet. Let's say you teach, you know, weight loss. A keto diet is the thing.
Thing. Right? Okay.
And then the skill is understanding how to use macros.
Okay.
That's the skill. And then the identity is a self-driven you know, the self-driven performer. I'm just making
this up. Right? Okay. Now I'm going to go back for the thing core premise. It's a presentation that will change your life. Yep. Your skill core premise is persuasive presentations that sell.
Yeah. Well, it's persuasive speaking. It's the skill of speaking. Yeah.
Okay. And then
it's a skill.
Beautiful. And then the identity core premise for your customer.
I don't use it as much, but for me, I call it the irresistible entrepreneur. Because for me, the whole idea is that people would start asking for your offer before you make it. And so I want to speak in a way where people go, can I please work with you? I don't even know what you have to offer. I just want to work with you.
From your lips to God's ears. That's what I want for this launch. I want people to be like, come on, stop talking. Here's my credit card. I'm just going to hold that energy.
There it is. And like they're typing, I don't even know what you're going to offer, but this is just amazing. Like,
let me throw my money at you. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So we've broken down our core premises, which now will lead us more to the high converting presentations. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
So if I'm looking at you and I'm a blank slate, and here's one thing, Colin, I'll go back to using myself as an example. Masterclasses, webinars, presentations, they're not new to me, but I feel like I have wrestled, fought, scrapped my way to this point, and I'm proud of that, but I truly know that the person who's stopping me from reaching the next level is me. And this is me asking for help and being like, I'm a blank slate. If I went to you and I said, listen, I converted the same freaking percentage webinar over webinar over web. I mean, it's been the freaking same, which is impressive and then deadly. How do I increase it by 1 or 2%? And I'm a blank slate.
I mean, there is a lot of levers in it, but I'll give you a simple framework that anyone can use in a presentation.
Do you have a name for this framework?
Well, it's our sell from stage system.
Yes. Okay.
Right. This is what we teach in our core program. In terms of the content itself, there are three things that your content needs to do. The first thing, it needs to shift beliefs. So rather the mistake that most people do is they go into their course and they go, what's really cool in my course that I like? That if I teach on this presentation, the audience is going to go, this is really helpful. Like, this is so amazing. Imagine what I get when I pay. Right? The audience doesn't do that. All they do is they go, this is so amazing. And then they go, I'm going to do all those things that you told me to do, which is probably going to take me 3 to 6 months. And then I'll come back and I'll look at your course and then I'll think about paying for it. Right? That's typically what happens. But the first piece of content needs to be shifting people's minds and their beliefs. And so in other words, the first chunk of content needs to be focused on what are the misbeliefs, the wrong beliefs that people have about what I help people with that I need to shift? Like the handbrakes that they've got on that are stopping them from moving forward. I'll give you an example. So for me, I teach selling from stage. One of the misbeliefs is that selling has to be pushy and salesy and feel icky, right? But the truth is that selling is the doorway to take your service of your audience to the next level. In fact, you cannot, I believe, take their commitment to the next level, or it's very difficult without them paying money. Because money is a currency, it's one of the cleanest currencies of commitment. And people kind of all think it's all mucky, but it's not. It's a clean currency of commitment. And so when someone puts a currency in, they say, I'm committing to this vehicle that you have, which is the offer, that I'm committing to that on the next level. And so they put that currency in and they go to the next level. Now, I'm getting into my content here, teaching that selling is actually serving. But that's one belief shift that my audience, they need to make. Because if they want to learn to sell from stage, they have to feel good about selling. So if they feel like, oh, I don't even want to learn that, right? Then my offer's not going to be open for anyone.
So good.
Right? And so I have to shift that belief. So the question is for your audience is, what's wrong with your offer? That's the first question I ask in this piece of content. I say, what is wrong with what I do, right? And that's what you need to address first, because if you don't, they're driving with a handbrake on. The second piece of content is desire-based content. Desire-based content is where you actually teach something a little bit more practical. And so this is like equipping the hands. This is, you teach practical, but you stay out of process. So the mistake that people make is they get into process too quickly and they overwhelm their audience.
And I made this mistake for years.
Right.
For years. Give me an example.
So an example is, let's say you're teaching Instagram. Mm-hmm. actually going in and showing them how to do everything. Like
on the webinar, I'm like, here's my phone. Yeah. I scroll up here. I go, yes.
Now you might do that once, but that would be it.
Okay.
Because the problem is that without their commitment level at a high level, they're going to get overwhelmed very quickly.
Yep.
Because their commitment isn't there. They think their commitment's there, but it's not. Your audience's commitment isn't at the level that it needs to be to see a transformation yet. And so the second piece is teaching content where the audience goes, wow, that's really helpful. That's really useful. But I still don't know exactly how to do it. Mm. Like it's creating like a desire in them to want to learn it. It's still helpful. Like it's not just like, you know, pushy salesy content. It's actually helpful content, but it doesn't go too deep into the steps because you're just going to overwhelm the audience.
Correct.
And the final piece is revealing the vehicle. And the vehicle is your own unique signature process of achieving the result. And so for me, I actually have like a 5-step process that people move through. For someone else, it could be a 3-step or a 4-step process. So at a high level, you actually take them through the offer.
Hmm.
So in the presentation itself, you actually show them the offer without showing them the offer.
Give me an example.
For me, I would say, you know, there's 5 steps. The first step is making the decision to want to speak on stage. It's like, I'm going to declare myself as a speaker. I'm going to make this decision. You got to transform your mindset. The second step is you have to understand how your audience and your offer connect. It starts with your offer, with your audience. So audience and offer connection. The third step is you actually build your signature talk. The fourth step is you just practice it, right? And then the 5th step is you actually deliver it and then you can scale it and you start running ads to it, doing all the little things.
And you're teaching this in your masterclass, your webinar. Right.
Yeah, that's a piece of teaching in the masterclass, but it's actually the offer for one of our core products. And so that's coming back to your audience again. Think about what is your offer? And it shouldn't be any more than 5 steps, by the way. 5 steps is max, I would say. You want to distill it down shorter. So you're actually teaching your offer in the presentation, but it's still valuable because it's giving your audience clarity on the path.
Got it.
And then they're like, okay, I can see how that can work now. And then when you reveal your offer, they're going to go, that's actually really similar to what you just taught them. In fact, it's pretty much the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's also, it has a resonance. It makes sense. And then people go, this makes sense now. I'd love to walk through this. They have a sense of clarity about it.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to go back. The sell from stage system is that there's 3 parts of content. Number one is shift the beliefs and the mindset. And then you want to ask yourself, okay, what's wrong with my offer? Yeah. What's wrong with my offer? And then you refute that as part of the content.
Yeah.
Number 2, desire-based content. So you're going to teach practical elements, but you're going to stay out of the process itself. Mm.
Yeah.
And then the 3rd is revealing the vehicle. So this is your signature process of achieving their desired results.
Correct.
So you're revealing the vehicle, which incites desire, and then you reveal the offer.
Yeah, then you reveal the offer. And then you don't have to spend much time on the offer because you've already gone through it.
Right.
But it's actually been taught as opposed to sold.
Okay.
And so because it's part of the teaching, people are a lot more open to it as opposed to going through in the selling, you know, the so-called selling bit. But for me, the whole presentation is selling and teaching at the same time. And so what most people do is they teach and then they sell.
I made that mistake for years. Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
2024 is short. Come on.
And so what I just shared then, I know it's like 3 phases.
Yes, of content.
But at a top level, the philosophy is what I call infusion selling. So infusion selling is teaching and selling at the same time. And it infuses together. And so what happens is people go, wow, this is really valuable. This is useful content. And I'm feeling this huge desire to want to work with this person. So it creates a desire. It's that irresistibility thing. But it also comes to the audience as being also helpful and useful. So everyone's going to walk away and say, that was a great presentation. But for the right person, they're going to go, I want to work with them.
Okay. So I freaking love where we are in this conversation because we went through the infusion selling at the highest point, which is content and teaching incites desire. And then we went through the 3 parts of the content.
Yeah, 3 chunks of content. Yeah.
Now, when we get to the actual selling, because we ended it by revealing the vehicle and then we reveal the offer. From your experience, when you work with different entrepreneurs, what is the best way to not reveal the vehicle, but reveal the offer? Like, is there a mechanism that you're like, this is how we move from revealing the vehicle to revealing the offer?
Do you mean the transition?
Yeah. So I always feel like mines are hard. So I kind of get through, I usually do three steps to this or four steps. It's kind of been like my cadence. Yeah. And then I'm like, and now, where were we? Let's go. Maybe not as awkward, but it feels jarring.
It feels awkward. So first of all, I think how you feel is important.
Ugh.
Because, and one of the little tricks that I do is I think about who I'm serving. I literally, when I'm looking down the camera, I picture my client, and typically a lot of time my client, it's a female actually. And they're usually between 30 to 55. They're a course creator, but I think about them and I'm like, where are they at in their life? What are they struggling with? Maybe they've got kids at home. They're trying to get their business up and running. Like, what are they going through? And I really think about from an empathy perspective of if they're the right person, this offer could freaking change their life, like change their life. And so when I come into the offer piece itself, I'm genuinely looking down the eye of the camera going, if this is for you, and you're ready to step up in this area, I want to genuinely change your life. I've come here to inspire you, but more than that, I've come here to change your life. And if you're not right for this, then this is not the next step. But if it is, then I would love to show you how this could look for you. And then you can literally just move into the offer or something like that. I love the word resonate. So I use that a lot when I'm teaching or transitioning. So I'll say the word, for those of you who really resonated with my content and with me, I'd love to share with you what it looks like to take the next steps and commit on the next level to yourself through this process. So something like that. There are various ways you can language that transition, but the feeling is really important.
Yep.
Because what happens is a lot of the time in teaching mode, you are focused on the student. You're like, oh, I'm trying to help. I'm trying to, you know, serve. And then you go into the selling at the end and you're like, oh, now it's about me. I'm trying to take money off them or whatever. But you have to consciously put that person in front of you and go, no, this is the next level of serving for the right person. I'm not trying to convert everyone. It's for the right person. When the right person joins, like I literally got a text from someone this morning on Instagram. She texted me. She was like, Colin, can I just say that? She was like, I'm so reluctant. I was so reluctant to join your program because I wasn't sure if I wanted to do live speaking, but I just wanted to do webinar stuff because I have an autistic child at home and I can't travel. And she's like, Colin, I literally just went through your system and used it. I got a 20% conversion rate. And she's like, it has changed my life. Like, she's like, I can now actually work from home, look after my special needs kid and build the life that I want. She was like, thank you for creating this program. And I'm like that is who it's for. Her name's Lindsay. Hey, shout out Lindsay. like that is who it's for, you know, and everyone's had or got that experience. And if you haven't, do the work to get those experiences for your clients, and then your whole life will change when you start selling it.
Ah, that's so good. I think that what I'm going to do is when I'm in the webinar, I'm just going to take that audio recording and be like, for those of you who's resonated, and then you could just take it over and say, Colin's going to handle the rest. I'm just kidding. Okay. So that felt like the most I felt like an energetic shift in me. And I know that so feels cool. Like, I feel like it sounds like it's bigger than it is. And I'm telling you, it feels bigger than what the words say. And I 100%, as I was teaching, had all this energy because I love you. Yeah. I care for you. 100%. Like, let's go. And then I'm like, but now it's about me. And I'm like, wait. No, the offer is never about me. I have already figured it out. The offer is for them. And if I could just picture our dream customer, her name is Angie. If I could picture Angie, this course creator who creates resources, PDFs, and I look at her and I'm like, I'm tired of you hitting the same number. I'm tired of you setting these goals and doing everything you think, and then you hit the same dang number. If I thought about her, everything would change about what that is. So I want to go back and I want to bring us, because I could feel like we've covered a lot. Conversion story.
Yeah, I've covered a lot.
To three elements of a good story. Then we went through to talk about high converting presentations. But first we focused on the core premise because we need to really like say that as the red ribbon. Again, your use of language is just next level. It makes me jealous. I was like, I want to say red ribbon. And then we went through this sell through stage system. We had three pieces of content, but at the top of that is this infusion selling. I'm teaching and I'm selling, and you don't actually notice the energetic shift because the energy stays the same because I care and I make an offer that's going to change their life. Can we get into practicing? So what is a practical way for somebody to practice? And then how do we even know, like, is it good? Oh, we hit it. Like, there's nobody here. Like, what do we do?
Well, I'm a big fan of genuinely practicing in front of the mirror and in front of a camera. And to feel really awkward the first time, like to allow yourself, even I, when I do it, I feel awkward when I'm practicing at the start. And what happens is, because you have to connect your brain to your mouth. Mm-hmm. It's like connecting the socket in the wall. What most people do is they have it in their mind. And when they go to say it out loud, it doesn't come out the way that they wanted it to. And if you ever see a great communicator, they're not a great communicator just because. It's because they've languaged something so many times that it unconsciously just connects. They've plugged the socket in the wall. And so for me, that metaphor just represents literally practicing over and over again. For me, if I'm doing a keynote or a webinar, I will go over it and practice it out loud 30 times before I actually do the presentation. I had a client just recently, and the biggest webinar he'd run was $3,000. He's a dentist. And he was like doing okay. And he followed that process that we went through, built his webinar, practiced it like 100 times. He's like, Colin, you wouldn't believe how many times I've practiced this thing. And his first one using that process, he did $111,000. He literally went from 3,000 to 111,000, like no word of a lie. But the process was that, first of all, he did that shift of like going, I'm here to truly change people. He helps people with mental health in dentistry, right? He's got a true heart to see people change. And yes, that is a heart-driven thing, but even if you help people make money, money changes people's lives.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Come on. And so just having that heart, but then really just dialing that process in and practicing it over and over again. And when he came to present, it just came out of his body. I had another client recently who just spoke before Anthony Robbins. It was his first major speaking event. And he said he practiced like 100 times. He got off the stage. Anthony Robbins grabbed him on the shoulder and said, dude, you are a speaker. Can you come and speak with me on my tour?
Wow. Right.
It's insane. But it was the level of intensity of practice that he did so that it was completely unconscious. And so that's what I'd recommend for everyone. You know, it's not going to feel comfortable right away. Practice it. Go through the slides, like practice with the slides over and over again. Even if you're doing a live presentation, there's something about getting the words out of your mouth physically that makes a big difference.
Yes.
Even coming into here, I was parked out the front of your house and I'm physically saying out loud some of the things that I'm going to talk about on the podcast.
Yes.
Because I want to plug the socket in. I want to get the wheels moving
through.
That's right. So yeah, that's what I'd recommend.
One thing that I actually want to say that probably is not related to this, but it taught me a lesson is we sat down and we were talking about the framework for the podcast. And then you had said, so talk to me, where's our entry point? What's going to be the most value and service? We talked about it. And you're like, oh, if you'll excuse me, you got up, you went over to your notebook and you got your pen and you just wrote down a couple words. And I thought to myself, that is such a confident act that I would look as a courageous act. Because if I was seated at a podcast, I would be like, you better remember it. And I'm like, wait, Colin just showed me how powerful it was to have a little note in front of them. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. So that to me is practice in a different form. And one of the things I'm wondering if you might be able to speak into this and help me make it better. So for years, I gave my webinars, my practice sessions on my own to the mirror and out loud.
Yeah.
And then over the years, when JD transitioned more into the business, I was giving the presentations to him, especially in the beginning, because he would say, that sounds funny. We could rework that. And now on the back of building out Social Curator, there is this freaking incredible community of people who are always wanting to help each other. And so I thought to myself, why don't I just practice the webinar? And it'll be optional. We'll just put it in the community. I don't have to put it out publicly. I'm like, if you want to see me come practice a new webinar and then give me feedback, like, if you had that opportunity, how do I ask for the best type of feedback? Because feedback that's like, that sucked or that was great leads me nowhere. How do I ask the right type of questions for feedback if given this opportunity?
So for me, feedback's an interesting thing because the greatest feedback is someone buying. I don't know if you...
I mean, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the ultimate feedback. Yes. Because I have surveyed my audience so many times before. So I'm sure you have as well, where you've gone, I'm thinking about doing this offer. Would you do this? And they're like, yes, yes, we would love it. And then you launch it and crickets, or not many people buy, or all the people that said they would buy it didn't buy it, and a whole bunch of other people that didn't know anything about it bought it. And so I'm very cautious of feedback from just the general audience.
Dang.
I genuinely show it to someone who knows what they're doing. So I would go to someone who I trust in the space and get feedback, or I would go to someone, maybe, you know, like we run a program and we follow a system. So we would like get feedback from people who know a system.
Oh, got it.
I would say. So either someone who knows a system or someone who can actually give you qualified feedback. Now, is that to say that it's worthwhile doing it to your audience and testing it? 100% it is, because it's the journey of the refinement. The revenue is in that repetition. The revenue is in the doing it over and over again.
True.
And what's fascinating is what I find with my students, with myself, is you get one dialed in presentation. You can do that same presentation over and over and over again. I just chatted with a mutual friend of ours, and she runs a weekly webinar, the same webinar over and over and
She's a gangster. Right?
And it's like same webinar over and over again, does millions of dollars. And some people say, oh, so I have to create a new webinar every week. No. Same webinar over and over again. You just refine it, tweak it, and it changes your life. So that's been for me. Like I remember when James said to me when we were in a mastermind together, he was like, dude, all you need is one high converting webinar, launch, presentation, whatever it is. You need one mechanism that you can lean on, and that becomes the bridge to your dreams.
Oof.
And once you build that thing, you can drive a freaking semi-trailer over that thing. You can load that thing up and drive over it.
I mean, we start off with half clients and three table desks and countrysingersnot.com.co. We talk about the conversion story, and then we talk about the one offer that is so good a semi-truck can run it over. Mm. Dang, that's so good.
Load that puppy up.
Load that puppy up. So, Colin, for people who want to go deeper with you, talk to me about the person who's kind of like, I want to learn more. I want to see Colin give a webinar. Like, where do they go?
Yeah.
Where do we get started?
So I think one of the best place that most people start with is conversion story formula. So we've gone through some of the structure of it.
Yeah.
There is a step-by-step process with that. But conversion story formula is like probably the easiest place for people to start with. I know that you've got a link that you'll share.
Yeah. It's jasminestar.com/Colin, C-O-L-I-N.
One L.
Yeah.
One L.
Did I speak America?
Most Americans do two L. I just wanted to say it for the listeners. Because most Americans, Colin is spelled two L.
Do you know is named Colin? It's like Australians and Brits. That's it.
I can't say my name, by the way.
Well, listen, if I said Colin, Americans is like one L. You say Colin, it's like, is it Colin? Colin?
Is it Colin? Stacey Tuchel is Catlin. Like, that's what she said. I'm like, how do I say my name? I don't know how to say it. Every state says it differently.
That's true. Colin with one L. C-O-L-I-N.
Yes. And so conversion story formula, it's what's cool is that within 48 hours, you'll have your conversion story. That's the goal.
Ooh.
48 hours. You're going to have your conversion story. You're going to share it on social media. You're going to share it on, if you run a webinar, you can share it on a Facebook Live. My goal is to get you to share it within 48 hours. That's the outcome for it. And it's cool. It's the price of a few tacos. I mean, California tacos. But it's the price of a few tacos. So that'll get you started. And I think that's the best place to start. So jasminestar.com/Carlin. I think that's a good place to start. And I've got a podcast myself.
Yes, so you do. Let's talk about that.
Expert Edge podcast. And that's my podcast. If people like podcast listening, that's my podcast.
And if people like Instagram.
Ah, yes. I'm very active on Instagram.
You are.
So @ColinBoyd, C-O-L-I-N-B-O-Y-D.
Colin Boyd. Thank you. This has been a long time coming. I feel honored. And I used to say that I feel selfish, and I'm like, no, I'm just using my story and hopefully it infuses others. This couldn't come at better timing. You have always been an incredible friend to myself and JD. Sarah is the better half of the relationship. We just love her. thank you for taking time away from her and the kids to be here. And when you said that the best feedback comes from a buyer, so the feedback that I really want is from somebody in the space or somebody who gives qualified feedback. What I heard was, you're going to take a look at my webinar?
Let's do it. Let's do it, Jasmine.
I'm shooting my shot.
Let's do it. Come on. If you ask, you receive.
I know. That's right. That's biblical. Let's close. Let's close with a God word.
I love to.
Y'all, that is the Jasmine Star Show. Many thanks. Be sure to tag at Colin Boyd, at Jasmine Star, if this had an impact with you. And remember, jasminestar.com/Colin if you would like to go deeper with what he's doing. And when you see me teach my live class.
I'm excited.
I mean, you could register for the live class right now. jasminestar.com/launch. You will see the webinar that has been approved by the Australian mate, Colin Boyd. Let's go. Thank you for watching and listening to the Jasmine Star Show.